if you have done it right. Sometimes our will to carry this out is weak, and our expectations are too adapted at balancing out the equations of what should be real in our heads. That is why you need a crutch, a staff, a cane, training wheels for the soul chained firmly to your eyes. Something visual and simple is easy to translate to the ineffable. 5. Move without doubts, without certainties. When the window is prepared, find the seams of this portal and peel it open completely, moving aside what you perceived as a wall, a floor, a ceiling, or even empty air, framed only by this one wake in the sleepy patterns of brick or panel. Then, do not let go. Keep going forward. When you see a marvelous luminescence of stars pitted against a blue glassy glaze, then you are ready. Step through this divide and merely be on the other side. Do not lose yourself in the reflections of whatever possibilities and realities or dreams you may see around you. Just pick one. Pick the one that calls to you if you cannot choose. I have found that even in the most certain of times, answering this call is the best choice. Chapter 1. The New Lore and the New Kinyam. Perhaps because I'll never be one, humans are interesting to me. Jeff Lindsay, Darkly Dreaming Dexter. In the age of Ahutu, commonly known as the New Lore remade, in the plane of air, on the planet Bear, in a secret realm hidden from the knowledge of the mapmakers, there is a hidden refuge of multiversal knowledge named the Planar Academic Center. The local date of the later part of this recollection was the Bearling Standard Year 6734, in the third month called Havila, on the 11th Karm, Karm being the fifth day of the six-day week, so the 65th day of the month, which could be relative to somewhere around the Earthling Standard calendar circa the 1990s. The 400 or so dates before were like a dream, maybe the last dream I ever had. My mind was paging through people, lessons, and the stories that I'd journeyed through in the old lore. They occurred like landmarks and gardens in a desert, seemingly out of nowhere. Red, too. She came to me as a cursed child. It was my own curse, after which I bore her burdens and rapport with her father. My intellect had no say in it. My tongue said I should take it upon myself to ready her for missions of peace, the greatest objective of the Vault Wakers. Now, though, my body was paging through what remained both physically and spiritually, and the books were not balanced. I found it best, in this state, to write things down as I remembered them, so it might not be perfect. Does it have to be perfect? I want the answer to be no, but something compels me to seek perfection even when it wounds what might have been good enough. As my mind traveled once again through math and time to find pieces of me that were trapped in various worlds, my companions floated around like phantasms, putting bitter into sweet and mingling adventure with guilt. Some who returned never recovered their sanity, but we all came from an agreed existence. Each of us did our best to assure others that none of us were crazy. The Bodhi, the entirety of knowledge, felt entirely transformed. Returning to my designated post was like sifting through my many encounters with so many entities that barely felt real or location-bound anymore, across all the timelines of my lifespan and journeys. A simple route before suddenly took immense focus to relocate. Rod's sword had damaged me in the final flashes of the old lore being destroyed. In my wounds, my intentions lay bare. Oh, what I wished to tell her. What I would have done differently if I had gotten the chance. Instead of closure, chaos emerged when I returned to my quarters. Some days were good. Not perfect, but good enough.